Now, the rest of the story. They were a misfit couple to begin with. Ruthie Faber and Harlow Morrell. She, the flighty flibbertigibbet. He, the dour, pragmatic, practical one. She, who lived by her emotions and openly displayed her affections. And he, the cold one, who kept the card so close to his vest that he could not even read them himself. Knowing this, it should be less difficult to envision fluffy Ruthie and stuffy Harlow little more than a month following their wedding, when she is saying, "Harlow, dear, I believe we're going to have a baby." And he is saying, "I want you to have an abortion." But this is the rest of the story. Ruthie Faber grew up a tomboy, all right, to the point of wearing her brother's shirts and trousers and insisting on the nickname Fred. But as the years passed, Ruthie's roughhousing ways gave way to dolls and daydreaming of princes and play-acting with pals in the attic of her Lowell, Massachusetts home. She met Harlow Morrell in the summer of 1892. She was 7, he was 8. Their blue-blooded parents had it all figured out to be a match from the start, but Harlow was in his last year at Bates College before deciding that he and Ruth should marry, and on July 1, 1907, they did. The alarm bells rang softly in Ruthie's ears at first, but they rang promptly. In fact, the newlyweds were just leaving for their honeymoon with friends and relatives heating handfuls of rice when grumpy, fastidious Harlow, brusquely brushing the rice from his lapels, shouted a profanity at the well-wishers. And the anger, to Ruthie's astonishment, was very real. And then she recalled something the groom's mother had once told her, something that she had dismissed as a joke, that Harlow was brilliant but disagreeable, and that he would destroy the life of anyone he married. There were occasional outbursts of impatience and petulance during their first weeks as man and wife, but nothing so shocking as the day Ruthie happily announced that they had apparently conceived a child on their honeymoon. Harlow's face turned ashen. On the verge of entering Harvard Law School, he had neither the time nor the inclination to become a father. "You have already heard his words. I want you to have an abortion." Had Ruthie sadly complied with his wishes, it would have surprised nobody. Her traditional New England upbringing, replete with its 19th century family values, urged obedience to one's husband above all. But Ruthie's resources were drawn from another well as well. Her childhood as a tomboy, standing toe-to-toe with the neighborhood ruffians in their dares and their sports and their scuffles. So once again, to another kind of bully this time, Ruthie stood up, fighting back tears, as she said, "Harlow, we are going to have this baby, and we are going to be good parents, and that's all there is to it." Ruthie was partly right, for the girl child who was born to them Sunday, April 5, 1908, Harlow would greet with indifference, as he would treat her all the rest of his life. And yet don't let it be forgot that once upon an issued order, a young woman named Ruth stood up for herself and her daughter and gave the world an actress it will always remember. You know that little girl Ruthie rescued as Betty Davis. Betty Davis. Only now you know the rest of the story.